Good morning. Let's turn to Luke chapter 22. Now the feast of unleavened bread, which is called the Passover, was approaching, and the chief priests and the scribes were seeking how they might put him to death, for they were afraid of the people. And Satan entered into Judas, who was called Iscariot, belonging to the number of the 12. And he went away and discussed with the chief priests and officers how he might betray him to them. And they were glad and agreed to give him money. And he consented and began seeking a good opportunity to betray him to them apart from the multitude. Then came the first day of unleavened bread on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare the Passover for us that we may eat it." And they said to him, "Where do you want us to prepare it?" And he said to them, "Behold, when you have entered the city, a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house that he enters. And you shall say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher says to you, where is the guest room in which I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he will show you in a large furnished upper room prepared there." And they departed and found everything just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. And when the hour had come, he reclined at the table and the apostles with him. And he said to them, "I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I shall never again eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he said, "Take this and share it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes." And when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, he took the cup after they had eaten. "This cup is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. But behold, the hand of the one betraying me is with me on the table. For indeed the Son of Man is going as it has been determined, but woe to that man by whom he is betrayed." And they began to discuss among themselves which of them it might be who was going to do this thing. And there arose also a dispute among them as to which one of them was regarded to be the greatest. And he said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who have authority over them are called benefactors. But not so with you, but let him who is the greatest among you become as the youngest, and the leader as the servant. For who is greater, the one who reclines at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at the table? But I am among you the one who serves. And you are those who have stood by me in my trials. And just as my Father has granted me a kingdom, I grant you, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and you will sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And you, when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers." And he said to him, "Lord, with you I am ready to go both to prison and to death." And he said, "I say to you, Peter, the cock will not crow today until you have denied me three times that you know me." And he said to them, "When I sent you out without purse and bag and sandals, you did not lack anything, did you?" And they said, "Nothing." And he said to them, "But now let him who has a purse take it along, likewise also a bag. And let him who has no sword sell his robe and buy one. For I tell you that this which is written must be fulfilled in me. And he was numbered with transgressors, for that which refers to me has its fulfillment." And they said, "Lord, look, here are two swords." And they said to him, "It is enough." And he came out and proceeded as was his custom to the Mount of Olives, and disciples also followed him. And when he arrived at the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and began to pray, saying, "Father, if thou art willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but thine be done." Now an angel from heaven appeared to him, strengthening him. And being in agony, he was praying very fervently, and his sweat became like drops of blood falling down upon the ground. And when he rose from prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping from sorrow. And he said to them, "Why are you sleeping? Rise and pray that you may not enter into temptation." And while he was still speaking, behold, a multitude came, and the one called Judas, one of the 12, was preceding them, and he approached Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said to him, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" And when those who were around him saw that it was going to happen, they said, "Lord, shall we strike with the sword?" And a certain one of them struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his right ear. But Jesus said to them, "Stop, no more of this." And he touched his ear and healed him. And Jesus said to the chief priests and officers of the temple and elders who had come out against him, "Have you come out with swords and clubs as against a robber? While I was with you daily in the temple, you did not lay hands on me, but this hour and the power of darkness are yours." And having arrested him, they led him away and brought him to the house of the high priest. But Peter was following at a distance, and after they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard, he had sat down together. Peter was sitting among them, and a certain servant girl, seeing him as he sat in the firelight and looking intently at him, said, "This man was with him too." But he denied it, saying, "Woman, I do not know him." And a little later, another saw him and said, "You are one of them too." But Peter said, "Man, I am not." And after about an hour had passed, another man began to insist, saying, "Certainly this man also was with him, for he is a Galilean too." And Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you're talking about." And immediately, while he was still speaking, a cock crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord and how he had told him, "Before a cock crows today, you will deny me three times." And he went on and wept bitterly. The men who were holding Jesus in custody were mocking him and beating him. And they blindfolded him, were asking him, saying, "Prophesy, who is the one who hit you?" And they were saying many other things against him, blaspheming. And when it was the day, the council of the elders of the people assembled, both chief priests and scribes, and they led him away to the council chamber, saying, "If you are the Christ, tell us." But he said to them, "If I tell you, you will not believe. And if I ask a question, you will not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the power of God." And they all said, "Are you the Son of God then?" And then he said to them, "Yes, I am." And they said, "What further need do we have of testimony? We have heard it ourselves from his own mouth." Amen. And so chapter 22 is beginning, you know, kind of the drama of the Lord finally going to the cross. You know, we did all the teaching. He shared everything about what's going on, you know, with the people, you know, going forward. And now he's getting to the climax of his life and his ministry. And so he comes to the Passover, and you know, you could see that Jesus is very strategically, you know, fixing his gaze to this point, because this is, you know, going back from the Old Testament when, you know, the blood of the lamb, you know, was slain and was put on all the doorposts so that literally the judgment of God could pass over the people of Israel. And now Jesus specifically uses this moment to introduce himself, and now we have the real Passover lamb. In fact, what happened back in the Old Testament was just a type of Christ. In other words, to say that this is, you know, what Jesus came for. You know, I mean, even back in, you know, in the original Passover when Moses was leading, that was just a picture of what would happen. You know, and now it's being displayed for us here as Jesus is the Passover. And he comes, and you know, there's two things that are running parallel to this story that you have to kind of get a grip on. But also, it's also telling the story of the crucifixion as well. One of the stories is Judas, and the other story is Peter. So let me get to Judas first. And so you'll notice that in the beginning, it says that the enemy entered into Judas during this time. You have to understand that even though the enemy has consumed Judas, Jesus still doesn't give up on him. And just even in this chapter, and if you go through other parts of the Gospels, you'll actually see Jesus time and time again giving Judas an opportunity. One of the opportunities he gives is he's reclining at the Lord's Supper, you know, and he makes this command. He says, "There's one of you guys is going to betray me." And in fact, this person is sitting at the table right here, verse 21. And so these guys get into a discussion, and you think about it, and I mean, imagine what's going on with Judas. Judas is there, you know, he has already agreed to betray Jesus, you know, with the chief priests, and you know, they put a money figure together, they got it all laid out, and here's Jesus saying right then, "Hey, one of you guys is going to betray me. In fact, one of you guys sitting at this table right now are going to betray me." And they have this discussion. Can you imagine Judas is sitting there, and he's probably thinking, "Oh, is he talking about me?" You know, it's the conviction. You know, it's you know, Holy Spirit in a way, you know, speaking to him, and yet he still denies that voice, right? And we have to be aware. I know we could feel so sorry for Judas and everything, but you know what? The guy had his chance. He had many chances. And then later on, when Jesus is confronted, here Judas comes in verse 47-48. Jesus says to him, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" And you know, and this was Judas was approaching Jesus to kiss him. And so you can imagine another situation. Here's Judas coming in. You know, Jesus holds on to him and says, "Are you going to betray me with a kiss?" And you can imagine right then another opportunity for Judas to repent. Another opportunity for Judas to say, "Oh, you know, Lord, forgive me. You know, I don't want to do this." But no, what does he do? We know the story. He forsakes the warning. He forsakes Jesus' words. He forsakes the conviction of the Spirit. And he goes and he kisses Jesus and betrays him. There's actually a few other episodes in the Gospels where we'll see this really laid out again, that Jesus continually gives Judas the opportunity. Right. Now you got that situation going on, and now you have a whole nother situation with Peter. Right. And so now he's dealing with Peter in this text, you know, and he's telling these guys, and the first part is in verse 31. He says, Simon, Simon, you know, God, Jesus has a word. The enemy is looking to devour you, right? He's looking to sift you like wheat, you know, and he says, but I'm praying for you that you'll not enter into temptation. But now Jesus has already assumed that he will tempt him because he says there's kind of a prophetic projection. All right. It says, and once you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. Right. And actually, the book of John will do a beautiful, masterful job of linking Peter's fall to Peter's rise. Right. But in this case, you know, we see this and, you know, and Peter, you know, comes out. And I mean, this is a time for Peter to humble himself. Right. You know, and we do this a lot of times. There may be warnings that come our way. You know, there may be, you know, people, or we may get a sense from God that there's going to be a tempting time, or this episode, or this instance in my life. There's going to be temptations and things, and when those warning comes, we can get quite arrogant and say, "Oh no, not me." You know, no, that's not going to happen to me. You know, this happens a lot. You know, it does happen a lot, but you know, for me personally, there'll be times where I get a real sense that you know, or I hear about something, about someone falling, or you know, something happening, and for me, you know, a lot of times I'll be like, "Oh, that's not going to happen to me. I'm good." You know, like, yeah, you know, I stay away from the internet. You know, or you know, like I don't put myself in tempting situations. You know, we can so easily do things like that. You know, but remember what the Bible says: "Is him who thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall." Isn't that a great verse? Let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Right? And one of the ways that we fall into temptation is we feel like we're strong enough, we're good enough, right? We're spiritual enough, or whatever the case may be. But that's not true. When you get a check in your spirit, or when you hear about somebody else falling, or falling into temptation, or these things happen, the first thing we should do is just take the humble position. And say, you know what, yeah, maybe I should, you know, check myself, right? Maybe I should, you know, seek more accountability or something. What does Peter do? You know, Jesus is giving him a check right there and saying, "Hey, man, the enemy's after you, bro." And what does he do? "Oh, no, Lord, not me. I'm gonna go all the way with you." You know, and obviously we know what happens here. And so he gets to this point, right? He says here, and the key in verse 40, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." Pray, right? You know, it's a spiritual battle that we're going through, right? Spiritual warfare. The weapon of our warfare is to pray, right? It's to seek God's face, you know, and this is what we should do. We should pray. But unfortunately, you know, obviously Peter doesn't, you know, and, you know, he ends up falling asleep, but we see in the other passages, Judas betrays him, and now Peter betrays the Lord as well. And this gives us a real interesting insight, you know, in this aspect of dealing with temptation, you know, the aspect of how to handle these kind of situations. You know, but a part of that too is when we see this is you got to see God's loving care for every single one of us, that even though we may fail the temptation, right, that Jesus has made a way for restoration. He tells Peter, "Hey, Peter, listen, man, when you're right again, go strengthen your brothers." And that's basically what Peter does, right, as one of the pillars of the church. You know, and we could see God's heart and his care. You know, when we commit a sin, you know, when we make a mistake, God doesn't give up on us. You know, when we fail, or when we even when we say, "Oh, I'm never going to do something, God, I'm with you all the way," or things like that. And even in those times, right, God still doesn't give up on us. You know, it'd be so easy for us to give up on people. You know, I mean, it's a very easy tendency. You know, someone, you know, over-promises, under-delivers, you know. And we just write them off. Like, I can't depend on that person anymore or whatnot. Right? Isn't it a blessing that God's not like that? Isn't it a blessing that that's not the way that God operates? Right, that even when we fail in temptation, even though we say one thing and yet our actions totally betray us, even though those things, God is still making a way for us. Right? God will never give up on us. He says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. You know, and so we have these two great pictures, you know, of the Lord ministering and the Lord giving second chances. And in Judas's case, third and fourth chances. And then making provision for Peter, you know, to really, you know, come into that place, you know, even when he messes up. Right? And so, I mean, it's a really quite a beautiful picture. So let's close our eyes today. You know, let's meditate on the Lord. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us. Maybe there's some of you today, you know, in this room and also in our listening audience online. Maybe you feel like you really messed up, you know, and that you really, you know, you said something to the Lord, you know, it's such like Peter did, and you really, really blew it, right? You know, let the Holy Spirit speak to you in the sense that, right, there's always another chance with God. There's always another chance with the Lord, right? And maybe some of us are going through difficult times right now, and especially in dealing with temptations, and we feel like the biggest loser or whatnot. Pray. You know, if you get a check in your spirit or you know that something's going to happen, pray, right? Seek God's face. It's so easy that we go into our default mode of worrying and these kind of things instead of really seeking the Lord. So as we have our eyes closed, let's just go before God. Either you feel like you really failed the Lord and that he's done with you. He's not done with you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. And so let the Holy Spirit speak to you in that. Maybe you're going through a time of temptation or a time of difficulty and stretching and training and learning and all these kind of things. The best thing we can do for ourselves is pray and recruit other people around us to pray. Right? And so as a musician is going to lead us in a song, let's just meditate on that before the Lord.